Hello, I'm Susan Young, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the Pacifica National Board regular meeting, teleconference meeting, Thursday, August 15th, 2024. And we are starting at 8:34 Eastern Standard Time. May I ask the Secretary to call the roll?
You bet. Irene Adams?
Present.
Irene is here. Teresa Allen?
Present.
Teresa's here. Kaja Brown?
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Donna Carter?
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo?
Fire in the blanket started around.
I'll keep going. Jim Dingeman?
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Here.
Can I ask Abelia to mute herself? There's a noise coming.
Thank you. And I have Vanessa is here. Fred Dodsworth?
Here.
Fred's here. Jan Goodman?
John Bender's not following the rules.
I'll keep going. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you, Heather. Abelia Jones?
Here.
Thank you, Abelia. Zach Caldvier?
Present.
Zach is here. Marianne Martinez?
Hello.
Thank you, Marianne. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Darlene's here. Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reeson?
I'm here, thanks.
Myla's here. Sean Rhodes?
Here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Thank you, Serene. Minerva Sanders?
She was here a minute ago. There she is. She's muted.
I'll just keep going and come back. Harvey Wasserman? Did we?
Request an excused absence.
Okay. Egberto Willis? Susan Young?
Here.
Susan is here. Okay, let me go back up to the top. Go through again. Paul DiRienzo? Not hearing anything. Jan Goodman? Not hearing anything. Minerva Sanders?
Still muted.
All right, let me go through and do the other people. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, although I don't think we expect him this early. Julie Hewitt, I am here. And we are probably not going to have Aki this evening, right?
Right, I don't believe so.
Okay. Let me try Paul DiRienzo again. Jan Goodman. All right, Minerva Sanders. Do we have you on, able to speak, Minerva?
So, Irene, would you be able to give Minerva a call and let her know we can't hear?
I still will.
I think she just dropped off again to try to. No, there she is.
No, she's on.
So, in any event, Madam Chair, you have 18 people, so you have quorum.
Great. So we'll keep going, and I believe others may join us because I was anticipating they would be here. And when we hear from Minerva, we'll recognize her as attending. Okay, reading the agenda. Preliminary items, 5 minutes. Call to order by chair, roll call by secretary, report out from the executive session of July 18. And I'll read the report out. The Pacifica National Board met in executive session to review issues of employment, and the board affirmed the decision of the executive director. Notice, the secretary provided notice of the intention to rescind a prior resolution of the board of the PNB. The secretary of the PNB hereby gives notice to all PNB directors that a motion from the governance committee has been added to the agenda for the next PMB meeting on August 15th, 2024, and may be continued to the September 5th 2024 meeting. The proposed motion is to amend a motion previously passed by the PNB with a substitute motion about the length of terms of delegates, LSB members, elected in 2023. The substitute motion is a clarification that the previous PNB motion to limit the terms to 2 years was invalid because of a failure to give proper notice to the candidates and electorate, and that therefore the proper terms are for 3 years. This is not taking a motion at the moment. We'll come back to that. Excused absences. I think we have a request for one excused absence, and that is for Harvey Wasserman. Is there any objection to excusing the absence of Harvey Wasserman? Hearing none. Jan, I see that Jan's with us. Jan, would you say your name so we hear you for the recording? Jan?
I'm here. I was just having to unmute. I apologize for being late. I couldn't find the Zoom link.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
You're not alone.
Minerva's unmuted now, too.
Oh, great. Minerva?
Yes, Susan, I'm joining. This is Minerva Sanders.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Good to see you.
I got you both. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Okay, identified timekeepers, and we have Irene in the past has offered to be a permanent timekeeper for topics. Are you willing to serve in that capacity tonight? Irene?
Yes, and the agreement was for 4 months.
Affirmative, 4 months. Okay, well, are we still in the agreement period? Will you serve?
Yes, we are.
Okay, excellent. And can we have a timekeeper for topics? In the past, we have had lovely service from Fred and Darlene.
Said topics.
Yeah, you said topics for me.
Oh, I beg your pardon. For people.
I am willing to do that.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. Approve open session minutes, 5 minutes. And I don't think we've got them. Serene, may I please get through the agenda and then come back to you? Motion to amend, rescind a motion previously adopted, appendix, that's 15 minutes, committee reports, 35 minutes, audit 5, coordinating committee 5, finance committee 5, governance committee, there are a lot of appendices items, 10 minutes, personnel committee 5, strategic planning committee 5, affiliates report 5, ED and Q&A, 30 minutes, old business, and these are listed in the appendix. Motion from Jim Dingman on programming committee. Motion from Jim Dingman on strategic planning committee. Motion from Jim Dingman on technology task force. Motion from Serene Roberts on executive sessions. Motion from Serene Roberts on accurate records. Motions from Jim Dingman on independent investigation of the state of the archives. Motion from Serene Roberts on audit committee. Motion from Serene Roberts on director's access. Motion from Serene Roberts on meeting rosters. Motion from Paul DiRienzo on Gaza. Motion from Serene Roberts to stand up the elections committee and convert it to a standing committee. Motion from Serene Roberts regarding subcarrier income. Motion from Jim Dingman on creating a media-oriented project 2025. New business. Motion from Serene Roberts on interim station management. Motion to move into closed session at 10:45. PM Eastern Standard Time, and then the motion to adjourn would be at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is there any objection to the agenda as written? Serene, do you wish to object? Are you raising a point?
I am. Thank you. 3 points. One, with regard to the ED and that 30 minutes, can we have the bifurcation of the report? And the
I'm sorry, Serene. I'm having trouble hearing you. I can't hear what you're asking. Would you speak louder?
I'm going to put in my headset, which may make things slightly clearer. Okay. Can you hear better? Can anyone hear me now?
There we can hear you.
Okay. With regard to the ED's report, can we bifurcate that for 10 minutes for report and 20 minutes for Q&A? Very often we end up with like 5 minutes for Q&A.
Is there any objection to bifurcating that report into 10 and 20?
Yes. I don't know that this is Darlene, and I'm objecting to making it that specific and limited.
Okay.
And Jan Goodman, I would like to defer the question until we have the benefit of Stephanie's input as to how long her report is going to take. I don't want to limit her to 5 minutes when she has a 10-minute report to make.
Well, actually, what we have typically done.
Why don't we just ask her?
Steph, and let me note, Paul DiRienzo has arrived, recognizing Paul. Will you please say your name for the recording?
I'm here. Paul is here.
Thank you. Okay. Steph, first, there has been an objection, but Stephanie, what are your thoughts about your timing?
It all depends on how quickly I can read it. So I'm sure, everybody got the report already and then an NES report. So I'm sure I can read through that in 5 minutes.
Okay.
I have my hand up.
Yes. Okay, Fred.
First off, I thought we were going to go into executive session to deal with a particular issue that is on the agenda currently. I have to do with the archives. And secondly,
We will go into executive session. This is the open session discussion.
Okay. And secondly, as I understood it, you said we're going to go into closed session at 10:45 and then we're done at 11, which only gives us 15 minutes for closed session.
Yeah. And that is not correct.
That is not going to work.
Yeah. No. I believe it should be.
That's not germane to my amendment.
I'm sorry, Serene. Hold on a minute because it is germane to timing. All right. Is there objection to, do we need a vote on Serene's proposed amendment in light of Stephanie's response?
It would appear that we do.
Teresa, you've got your hand up.
We have a new member?
Yes.
Teresa, I can't hear you.
We have a Jay Orozco joining us.
Wonderful. And he is one of the affiliates. Yes, exactly. So welcome.
We're on the agenda approval.
Serene, we get to recognize someone who has arrived. Teresa,
I'm opposed to the amendment. I don't think we should. Okay. Because I don't think we should shackle our executive director.
So that means we're going to take a vote. The vote is on Serene's motion to
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can we skip the vote and remove the shackles from Stephanie, who said she needed 5 minutes? But okay.
So, Serene, we're voting on your measure. I don't think we need to discuss it further. Julie.
Yeah, Madam Chair, you might consider, since Serene made the motion and then is willing to remove it, see if you could remove it without objection so I don't have to do a roll call.
Okay, Serene, withdrawing your motion?
That's you don't have to ask Serene, you have to ask the body, is it okay?
Understood. I didn't know what she was recommending. I couldn't hear it. So if there is no objection from the body, we'll move forward with the rest of the agenda. Is there objection to approving the agenda as it was read?
I still have two questions.
Okay,
go ahead. Related to the first. So one is, why is the Committee of Inclusion not among the committee reports? And I sent an email reminding the secretary to make sure it was included. Why is it not there?
Julie?
Yeah, I sent an email to find out who were the people who would report on the committees of inclusion, and I didn't, you know, I did it this morning. I didn't get responses fast enough, so
I never saw that email.
I didn't send it to you. I sent it to the LSB chairs and secretaries on the theory that they're the people who would know the answer to the, should know the answer to the question. So anyway.
Furthermore, it would be a new business.
No, that's my point.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Serene.
They're committees of the,
so,
they are
Serene,
committees
would
of
you
the
like
PNB.
To...
They should be in the committee report section. That's my point.
So are you making a motion to amend the agenda to add reports of the committees of inclusion, of which there are five, and which we don't know who the contact people are? So you're making that motion.
But the directors know who they are.
Is there a second to Serene's motion?
Vanessa, second.
Madam,
okay, then let's take a vote.
We've been at time on this matter for quite a few couple of minutes now.
Okay, because the motion came in to amend, and Serene, we're not going to discuss it. We're just going to take the vote because we're at time. So, Madam Secretary, will you please take the vote? Yes, is we amend the agenda to add Serene's recommendation, add Serene's call for the committees of inclusion, all five of them, to be included on the committee reports tonight.
Can we do this without objection?
No, I object.
Okay.
But point of order, Madam Chair.
Yeah, what's your point of order?
I have a question here. We have a number of motions scheduled for this meeting, and I've lost count.
We're voting on that agenda, and I read through them, and you have received them. We need to take a vote right now, Ron. You're asking a question that has already been answered.
I'm asking the question, do we have, how much time is allotted to all of this? And can we complete these motions, you know, within the meeting?
Ron, we are already exceeded the time on this 5-minute agenda. So with this agenda going long like this, that cuts into the time that we would have available to deal with the motions. Therefore, I'm calling for the vote on Serene's. And so any further discussion is out of order. And we're going to call for the vote.
I get it. Go ahead.
All right.
If you vote yes, we approve Serene's amendment to include the five committees of inclusion on the as a part of the committee reports.
Irene Adams.
No.
Irene's a no. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no, and I would like to see the motion in the chat.
Teresa's a no. Kaja Brown?
Abstain.
Kaja abstains. Donna Carter?
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Paul DiRienzo?
Pass.
Paul passes. Jim Dingman?
Yeah, I'd like to hear where we're at on that issue.
Jim's a yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Vanessa's a yes. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
Fred's a no. Jan Goodman? Jan?
No.
Jan's a no. Heather Gray?
Correct, no.
Yes.
Heather's a yes. Avalia Jones?
No.
Avalia's a no. Zach Caldvier?
No.
Zach is a no. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Marianne's a no. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene's a no. Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Ron's an abstention. Myla Reason?
No.
Myla's a no. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean's a yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Serene's a yes. Minerva Sanders?
No.
Minerva's a no. Egberto Willis? All right, let me come back around. Paul DiRienzo, are you passed? Do you choose to vote, Paul?
Sorry, yes.
Paul's a yes.
Okay. I'm a little out of it. I was getting over COVID, so pardon me.
Oh.
Bless you.
I'll give you the extra, you know, couple seconds to respond then. Egberto?
Egberto's not with us yet, as far as I know.
Yeah, he did not call in. He did not.
Oh, you know, yeah. Thank you. I inadvertently put a little, I knew I hit a key. That's where I, yes, thank you. Okay, gotcha. The yeses are 6. The noes are 10. And so the motion fails.
All right. That, and thank you very much for Irene for pointing out that we are over time on that item. So the next item
is. I have a quick point of information, please.
What's your point?
I have a point of information.
I said, what's your point?
Oh, what's my point of information? Okay.
Yeah.
My point of information from the my point of information for the secretary is exactly where on kpftx.org do you put these reports out? Because I've just not been able to find any of them.
That's not relevant.
Or on Serene,
that's another question. We're moving
well,
on
it's
to
part
the agenda
of the,
item.
It's part
Serene,
of the agenda.
I'm calling you out of order.
It's
so then
part of the agenda.
No, it is not. The report
of course, it says the
been,
report's out
Serene, your question
on kpftx.org.
This is not relevant to item number 4, which is where we are, which is motion to amend, rescind a motion previously adopted. We've already adopted the agenda. So we'll move on, and I will read that motion. First of all, the motion that was passed August 17th, 2023, and by the way, this is a 15-minute item, a lot of reading to happen. Whereas there were insufficient funds to hold elections in 2022, which was year 2 of Pacifica's 3-year election cycle, in which half of the delegates would be elected. Whereas the PMB passed a motion on October 20, 2022, providing that delegates whose terms would have ended 2022 would continue to serve in 2023 if Pacifica failed to hold elections, whereas delegates whose terms would have ended in 2022 were either in their first term and therefore eligible to run again or in their second term and therefore ineligible to run again, according to the Pacifica bylaws, and the delay from 2022 to 2023 in holding elections does not change that eligibility status. Whereas Pacifica is in the midst of the election cycle for 2023, with the record period having passed, the period for candidate nomination having closed, the ballots not yet sent to members, and ballots slated to be sent to voters in the second half of August. And whereas it is important for voters to understand before they cast their votes, the length of terms to which successful candidates would be elected and serve. Therefore, be it resolved that all candidates running in 2023 delegate elections are running for 2-year terms, and that the elections, pacifica.org website shall reflect this information. Pacifica Elections would return to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 and no elections in year 3, paren, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2025, but not in 2026. That is the motion that was adopted last year on August 17th, 2023. The motion to be considered now and possibly to be voted on at our next meeting is a motion to amend slash rescind that motion previously adopted. I will read the motion under consideration in our current agenda. Whereas the candidates who ran for positions as local station board delegates in 2023 were initially notified by the NES that they were running for 3-year terms. And whereas the delayed 2022 election resulted in a conflict in the bylaws between electing delegates to 3-year terms in 2023 and getting back on the bylaws schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 of the 3-year election cycle. And whereas in a motion passed on August 17th, 2023, the 2023 PNB chose getting back on the bylaws schedule for elections, limiting the terms of the LSB delegates elected to 2023 to 2-year terms, which motion was passed 2 days after the delegates election began. Whereas the motion passed by the PNB was not fully implemented, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB finds that honoring the 3-year terms clause, although it may affect the schedule of future elections, to be the lesser injury to the bylaws and is clarifying that the terms of the LSB members who were elected in 2023 shall be 3-year terms ending in 2026. Now, I know that this is a lot of verbiage. I'm going to ask Julie, can you give just a quicker summary of what all of that meant? And also, I know have been inquiries to Arthur Schwartz. He is not here at the moment, and so we may need to hold those inquiries. So first, I'd like Julie to speak. Then we've got Serene, Jim, and Donna.
Add Sean to the list.
And Sean, great. Serene, Jim, Donna, and Sean.
I have a point of order.
Okay, what's your point of order?
It's motion. The point of the motion was to recognize
that. Okay, do I have the floor? Jim, Julie,
just
a minute,
Julie.
I have a point of order.
No, understood. It was a confusion. Serene, what's your point of order?
It is improper to bring this motion when there is an open request for a legal opinion from the attorney who was involved in this decision last year. It's been a year since it's been sitting there. This is not a surprise motion. And I believe the text that was read just now was the unamended text and not the text that the NES provided in her notice to every single voter.
So, Serene, are you making a motion to postpone consideration until we can be advised by the general counsel?
Yep, that'll do. Thank you.
Great. Is there a second for that motion?
Vanessa seconds.
Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's postponed until September 5, and we will work to line up a report from the general counsel. Okay. Next, we have motions from the governance committee and the government's a report from the governance committee. And the governance committee has been very, very busy. Fred, would you be kind to give that report?
Sure. The governance committee met on July 25th, and we accomplished a great deal. Several items have been brought forward for action by the PNB, and our chair will read those motions when appropriate, one of which you just heard. First, the government committee refers to the question of whether to rescind the action. This is what we just dealt with in 2023 to reduce the delegate terms from 3 to 2 years, which has been taken up earlier in the meeting. Second, the Governance Committee considered and is supporting a bylaw amendment to make the Personnel Committee a standing committee. The motion approved by the Governance Committee is included in the appendix as 5D1.
And I will read it.
Okay, but let me finish this one thing, sure. And then I'll have you read the motion. Additionally, Teresa Allen is a member of the Governance Committee, has put forward a motion to amend the Personnel Committee Standing Committee motion by specifying its composition. That motion is included in the item, and now you can read that motion, please.
Excellent. So the motion is in the appendix of the open portion of your agendas. Establish Personnel Committee as a standing committee to assist the network in screening qualified applicants for the position of executive director, for conducting annual evaluations of the executive director, assisting the executive director in personnel matters as requested, and supporting local station boards with evaluations of the general managers and program directors. What Teresa added was the personnel committee will be comprised of the PNB chair, PNB vice chair, PNB secretary, and the National Finance Committee chair, and one director from each station elected by the PNB, and one affiliate director elected by the PNB. Because this is a recommendation out of committee, I don't believe we need a second. I think that there are a couple of folks who helped craft this, because this motion came out of the personnel committee from 2023. I've got one hand up from Myla.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering why the affiliate member on that committee is elected by the PNB and not by the affiliates. I don't know if anyone can answer that, but it seems like it's more democratic.
We've been through that issue on other matters, and the affiliate department is basically staff and reports to the ED. So you run into the conflict of staff voting for someone in the PNB position. And the association affiliated with or that supports the affiliates is not an official part of the foundation. I'm going to ask Teresa first because you speak more frequently.
Ron to the staff.
Okay, and Ron on the staff too.
So the way I see it, when the PNB decides who's going to be on the personnel committee, we take nominations, and all of the PNB, let's say I'm nominated and Susan is nominated. No, let's say I'm nominated and Marianne Martinez is nominated from my station. The PNB will vote on who will be the representative from the station, and let's say both affiliate directors are nominated, then the PNB would decide which of those two people would be on the personnel committee. That's what I think that it says, that there will be an electronic vote and that the PNB will decide who will represent each of the entities, the five stations and the affiliates. Thank you.
Okay. Serene, and then I think was it Ron?
Right.
Ron, did you ask to speak?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Serene and then Ron. Serene?
So before I respond to the actual motion, I have a point of procedure. I'm wondering if we're on committee reports, why we skipped audit, coordinating, and financing to go to governance.
Apologies. And Serene, you're absolutely right. I got myself.
I mean, we're here so we can continue, but I just didn't understand that. The personnel committee, what was the original formula for the personnel committee, if anyone knows?
It is as written. This
so
is Darlene.
Is
I was chair of the personnel committee for 2023, and the personnel committee put that forward as it was given to us, And somehow it didn't make one of the transfers over to the governance committee, so they're bringing it back up again so it's clear. But that makeup was the makeup of the 2023 personnel committee that did
I meant the original, like the 2011 or whatever year it is we had set that up. Do you know what that composition was?
It stood up annually, and so therefore there is the decision about the composition is decided annually.
Okay, yes. I'm asking Darlene if as the chair of the 2023 committee that worked on a particular formula or formulation, I'm asking her whether she knows what the previous one was. That's all.
We copied the previous one.
Okay.
As in 2023 or 2011 is what I'm asking.
The 2023 committee copied the last available personnel
which was
committee.
What?
And so, Serene, we don't have the records for 2011, and she was not expected to look back to those records, and Darlene didn't serve in 2011,
she speaks
so 2011
quite well. She
is not relevant
answer.
To
if
this
she,
conversation.
If she knows the year, or she doesn't. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, Darlene, do you know the year that it started?
The question was, what was it the year Serene cited, and that's why I said we carried it over. But no. When the committee was set
Thank
up,
you.
We used the available documentation.
Okay, so
Thank
Fred.
You.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ron and then Fred. Ron?
My question is this. The secretary position, okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a secretary who's not a board member, okay? And my concern is that, you know, I don't know whether we broke precedence on that or not, but it would seem to me that the secretary needs to be somebody of this body, and not an appointee or whatever. You know,
I can answer that, Ron.
Yeah, well, go ahead and answer.
I can answer that. The secretary last year was not a PNB member, Nancy Sorden. And she served on committees because she was an officer. And the same is true for Julie Hewitt. She is an officer of the corporation. So having the officers on the personnel committee is appropriate. Fred.
Yes, it's my understanding
Wait a minute.
Is it my turn to speak or what?
Yes, it is.
I thought I was speaking.
I answered your question, Ron.
But you didn't answer my question to my satisfaction, okay?
Well, I answered your question.
The bylaws allow, I think the answer to
Dan,
your question is the bylaws allow.
Dan, I haven't recognized you. Jan, what do you have to say?
You think it's from what?
Point of information. Isn't it true that the bylaws allow the secretary to not be a member of the PNB and that therefore it is having a non-member of the PNB being the secretary is allowed and appropriate pursuant to the bylaws, and I'm wondering if that might answer
Ron's question.
The question, yes, this question.
Let me add that the secretary is an officer of the corporation. So, Ron, did Jan answer your question?
You know, I still have a problem with this, you know, because it's not an elected person. And
okay, so you just disagreed with it. But that the answer is it's legal. Okay, Fred.
Okay, all right, so it's legal. You know, you stop this. What come on now.
45 seconds.
Fred, and then Serene.
First off, I wanted to say that at one time we actually had the finances to have a member of our staff who was a HR director and who handled all these issues. And so because we are in this precarious financial position, we have perhaps inadvisably, but we have created a committee of people who are knowledgeable and responsible to help us deal with these HR situations. And the idea of going back to 2004 or whatever it was that someone wanted us to go back to is completely irrelevant.
So we are at time.
One second. I have one other question or one other statement. And the other statement is, it is now 6:15, and this is why we never get to new business. This bickering over nothing.
Okay, you've made your comment.
It is something.
And so, no, Serene, what is your comment or question?
Move to strike the secretary.
Is there a second to move to strike the secretary?
Yes.
Okay, so then let's take the vote on striking the secretary from this motion. Julie, please take the vote. If you vote yes, we strike the secretary from the motion. And so that would be changing the way we are currently operating and have operated in the past. If you vote no, we leave the secretary in.
All right. Irene Adams.
No.
Irene's a no. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Teresa's a no. Kaja Brown.
No.
Kaja's a no. Donna Carter.
Pass.
Donna passes. Paul DiRanzo.
Pass.
Paul passes. Jim Dingaman.
Yeah, I'm reading Article 9, Section 2. I pass right now. That has actually deals with this issue.
Okay. Dingaman's a pass. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Vanessa's a yes. Fred Dodsworth.
No.
Fred's a no. Jan Goodman.
Dan, you're muted.
Yes. Yes.
Jan's a yes.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. No.
Jan's a no. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather's a no. Avalia Jones?
No.
Avalia's a no. Zach Caldvier?
No.
Zach's a no. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Marianne's a no. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene's a no. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Ron's a yes. Myla Reason?
A no. And I'm putting that section of the bylaws in the chat that shows that this is unnecessary.
Thank you. Myla's a no. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
Sean abstains. Serene Roberts? Yeah, we're creating a lot of executive committees, people.
Serene
passes.
Just say what your vote is.
Like Myla did.
So what is your
vote? I'm putting you down as a pass. I'm going to keep going. Minerva Sanders?
No.
I said yes. I don't know why you'd put me down as a pass. My yes was very clear.
You never said yes.
No, it was not clear at all. Thank you. But I'll put you down as a yes. Serene's a yes.
Thanks, Jerry.
Minerva's a no. Egberto, did he ever come? No. Okay, back up to the top. Donna Carter? You passed?
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Paul DiRanzo, you passed?
Yeah, vote yes.
Paul's a yes. Jim Dingaman, you passed.
Yeah, the wording's pretty clear. I mean, people should read what the wording is. I don't know. I'll vote yes, but I mean, the wording is pretty clear.
Dingaman's a yes. All right. Madam Chair, the yeses are 5, the noes are 12. The motion fails.
Okay, so I would like to note that the that we are past the 10 minutes for governance. So what I'd like to do is to go back to the Audit Committee, Coordinating Committee, Finance Committee, Personnel, and Strategic Planning, see if we can get through those quickly, and then the Affiliates Report. And if there is time after the ED report, we can continue with governance. So, Irene.
Point of information.
Audit Committee.
Point of information.
Yes, what's your point?
Did we actually vote on this motion that we had in front of us?
Nope.
I thought we had to vote before we moved on.
Good point. So there was a motion to amend, and we did vote on that. And so we'll vote on the motion, the basic motion, which is to create the personnel committee as a standing committee with the responsibilities and composition that were read before. Are we ready to vote on that? Do I need to read it again?
Okay, let's go ahead and take the vote. Yes, vote yes, and no.
You support this motion. No, if you do not. What's your point of order?
That's the bylaws modification. Now I am reading the bylaws. You're talking about changing the bylaws here very dramatically. Yeah. And that cannot be done simply in a situation where we're doing it by the votes of the board members.
No, and so you're clear. Absolutely right, Jim. This could only be adopted if we're subject to a notice period and it went through the announcements and a vote by the PNB and a vote by the five LSBs. This cannot be enacted by a vote of the PNB. This is really a question.
Why are we talking about it?
I'm calling the member out of order.
Yeah, calling it. Yes, you're out of order, Serene. We can go ahead and take this vote.
Point of information.
The member is out of order.
What's your question?
If this is, this is an amendment of the bylaws because we're adding a standing committee. I forget what section that is. But
this is not a question so far.
And there's a whole process that we would have to engage in.
Understood. This is not a question.
I'm
finding you out of order. This is not an inquiry.
I'm calling the member out of order. Please remove the member.
I'm speaking.
Oh, stop. Come on, Fred, please.
Okay, going forward with the vote.
And it was... If
Serene,
this is a Bible
we already
change,
explained it, that, and so you are... You are
so why are we
again,
voting on it if we're not voting
said.
On it properly?
I'm calling the member out of order, argumentative,
no.
Disruptive.
Then, hey, Fred,
come on.
Then vote no. Okay. If the member continues to disrupt this meeting so that we cannot accomplish the business of
the illegal activity, go ahead.
Yeah, then I will request that you be removed. And ask for a motion to that effect. Will you stop now, Serene? Okay, thank you. So let's go ahead with the vote on the motion.
All right. Irene Adams.
Pass.
Irene passes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Teresa says yes. Kaja Brown.
Abstain.
Kaja abstains. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna says no.
No.
Paul DiRanzo?
She said yes.
No.
I couldn't hear
I'm sorry, Donna. Could you repeat your vote?
No.
Beg pardon, Donna. Sorry.
Donna says no. Okay. Paul DiRanzo?
No.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman?
No.
Dingaman's a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No illegal activity.
Oh, please.
Oh, please.
Vanessa's
no
a no.
Comment. And, Fred and Dodsworth. Yeah, no comments when you're voting and no comments about what somebody has said. Thank you.
Fred Dodsworth is
Fred
a
Dodsworth.
Yes. Is a yes.
Fred votes yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather's a no. Abelia Jones?
I'm a yes.
Abelia's a yes. Zach Caldbeer?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
No.
Ron's a no. Myla Reason?
Reason votes yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts? Heck no. Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. We don't have Egberto yet, do we?
No.
Irene Adams, you passed?
Yes.
Irene's a yes. Madam Chair, the yeses are 10, the noes are 8, the motion passes.
All right, so then we'll go back to the committee reports, as I should have brought us through the agenda earlier. Audit Committee, 5 minutes. Irene.
I'll make this short and sweet, Susan. I'm in the process of asking the Audit Committee members what would be a great time to meet. I'm monkey polling them tomorrow. And we will convene in order to lay the groundwork for auditing activities. Okay?
Excellent. Are there any questions for Irene? Serene?
I do. I have a question because I saw something, or I heard there was something in the agenda that said my audit committee motion of 3 or 4 months ago was moot, and it was a motion to ask the committee to meet. And, you know, people keep celebrating that they're in the audit committee and they're taking care of things, and the committee hasn't met now in almost 2 years.
Serene, the audit committee is meeting, happening. Serene, this is out of order.
What is out of order? You haven't let me finish.
You said that what your motion was is to cause the audit committee to meet.
I didn't bring the motion. I said there was a motion which has been deemed to be moot. If you stop interrupting me, I might be able to make my point.
Please do.
What is it?
You like to interrupt.
I'm a director. You're a director. If I'm giving
what
the floor,
what is your
let me
point,
speak.
Serene? Please make it.
There was some report a few months ago that someone was exploring a pro bono auditor. What's the story on that? The committee hasn't met, so I don't know how they could have designated someone to make the inquiry, but what is the story on that?
I'll tell you the story. Irene found several possible organizations. I, as the person who was able to inquire because I was the board chair, called them all, and none of them was available to assist us. Either they did not provide those services at all, or they were not available to us now. So, Serene, if you have organizations to recommend, please do so.
Well, okay, can we shout it down when I try to talk about it?
Madam Chair, I call the member out of order for arguing with the chair.
I'm asking a question.
The interrupter in chief.
I find that you
no comments from the panel.
That's well taken.
Please.
Thank you.
You know what? This is offensive.
And Ron,
Madam Chair, get a handle on these people.
She called. Okay. It is appropriate for a person from the floor to call someone out of order. That is appropriate for a member to do. And her call out of order, I found.
Call out of order is one thing, but the personal attacks are another.
Ron?
This meeting is coming to an end.
Moving on. Personal attacks
are not acceptable.
Okay, Ron.
Madam Chair, I call the members out of order for arguing with the chair.
And I find your point.
I find the harassment of members out of order.
And so, therefore,
and that's what it is. Anyone who doesn't sing your tune is out of order.
I am going to
inappropriate.
Paul out of order. And I'm going to put you in the waiting room if you don't stop interrupting and arguing with the chair. Okay, so moving on to the next committee report. Coordinating committee. I will just say that the Coordinating Committee and the Strategic Planning Committee are having a combined meeting on August 29th. And notice has gone out about that. Finance Committee.
This is Darlene. I'm the chair of the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee meeting last given was a near dream. We were very organized, moved through business very quickly. The two biggest items that we have been dealing with are the number two is the lineup of budget reviews to be done before the end of the fiscal year. The fiscal year starts on October 1st. We completed the review and approval to go to the PNB of the 2025 budget from KPFT. We heard from every station as to the state of their budget process, working through the bylaws mandated process of the general manager working with whomever, the ED, whomever they need to work with to propose a budget, goes to the finance committee of the LSB. If that LSB has one, that committee decides whether to move it on up for further approval. Then to the LSBs, when that approval happens, then it comes to the PNB for final approval and action. So we know where everybody stands, and everybody had their information in hand. It was great, and we did pass the first 2025 budget. Madam Chair, I am having
for KPFT.
For KPFT, and I'm having an incredible blank in my mind over what was the first order of business that we did so well.
But I think we've covered what we need to, so the Finance Committee has approved the proposed FY 2025 budget for KPFT and is recommending approval by the PNB. It is a balanced budget. Is there any objection to approving the 2025 budget for KPFT?
Have we given it to people to see?
Okay, hearing none, that's it is approved.
No. Hello?
Yes? Did you raise an objection? Do we need to vote?
Well, we need to discuss
what's your point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I think you did not hear the answer. There was a question about whether it has been, Darlene asked if it had been sent out, or somebody asked whether it had been sent out to the PNB.
I did.
So has it been sent out to the PNB?
It hasn't, the KPFT budget? It hasn't been sent out to the PNB, Madam Chair.
Okay, so then in that case, I suggest we postpone consideration of it to the September 5 meeting so that the PNB has the chance to review it. Is there any objection to that?
Nope.
Hearing none. We can go on to the Personnel Committee. Teresa.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The personnel committee meets on Monday. We are on target to send out the evaluation to the PNB and interested parties for the evaluation of the executive director. And I expect that despite national and local and state elections, that everyone that is sent an evaluation of the ED will return it promptly. So Darlene Pagano and I can do the work, mostly Darlene, because she knows what she's doing when it comes to collecting all of the information from those evaluations. So I expect that the executive director will get the evaluation on time, according to the schedule that we set up. And we reviewed a survey of listeners that was done by KPFA as a possible good idea for what other stations can do to survey listeners, which would be a valuable component of evaluating general managers and program directors. We've also, we passed possible questions to have LSB self-evaluate. That's what we've done.
Okay.
So we'll be discussing that further on Monday, the 19th.
Questions for Teresa, Vanessa, then Serene.
So was it said that evaluation instruments were sent out?
No.
No, I did not say.
What did you say?
I said that the evaluation will go out as it did last year. Mm-hmm. And we've already determined a schedule, which I don't have in front of me because my computer's not working right now.
It will start in October, Teresa.
So the evaluation will go out in October. It will have a deadline for people to return it. Last year, Darlene had to call a lot of people again and again asking them to return it. So I hope that you will do it promptly. And then we anticipate that the executive director will receive her evaluation in a timely manner.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Serene, Jim, Donna. Serene.
Thanks. So is this an anonymous survey that is being sent?
Teresa, yes. Darlene?
Yes, it is.
Is it SurveyMonkey or who are we using?
Can't hear you, Serene. Can you speak louder?
Darlene,
how is it? No. We send out a survey.
Hang on. I haven't recognized you, Darlene.
Beg pardon. You're okay.
I'm sorry. Now I recognize you. You're the previous chair of the committee, so maybe you can help answer this question.
It is anonymous in the way that there is only one person who knows what randomly assigned number is what person. The PNB is asked, and then all of the management side of the foundation, those people are recognized. They also get randomized numbers. There is a locked file that shows what name is what number. From that point on, the entire process is only done by respondent number.
Serene, does that answer your question? Donna,
someone just muted me while I was trying to respond. Thank you. I didn't want to run out the whole full time. The LSBs are required to be involved in the evaluation of the executive director. How are you handling that?
At the same way we did last year, the bylaws say that the LSBs may evaluate the executive director. And so
the bylaws say, I'm sorry,
no,
darling.
I'm not
asking you to argue. I'm telling you because I sent the quotation to the PNB last year. I wasn't on the board at the time, but the bylaws say that they shall evaluate
the ED, that sure. the May comes about whether or not how the evaluation is handled, but they absolutely get to handle it. So I move that this be tabled at that the board be provided with.
There's no motion to table. Your time is up. Hey, be quiet, Fred.
Can we control
the mob? No, I'm the timekeeper.
Time is up on this issue.
I'm making a motion. I move that this matter be tabled because there's obvious confusion about who gets
Doreen,
to evaluate,
there is
and
no
we need to
motion
see the timeline.
To table. All right. I am.
What do you mean there is no motion to table? I just
she made the motion before time
for interrupting
called.
And for interrupting this, the proceeding.
She was
there
making
is
a
no motion.
Motion
to table. You were making a motion to table. There is no motion to table. So we're going to move
on
to affiliates. Shireen, I'm going to find you out of order. And request that you be removed.
Oh, for God's sake.
All right. Point of information, Madam Chair.
What's your point?
All right. Article 9 reads very carefully on Section 7, Executive Director. In addition, his her performance will also be subject to annual evaluation by each LSB, which may make recommendations to the board. So it is indeed in the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for pointing that out. And I think that that is a matter that should be taken up by the personnel committee. And I think that correction is valuable. Okay, we're moving on to the next topic because
that's
we're out of time.
Because
on that
I'm asking that it be tabled.
Madam Chair, we will consider that. Thank you.
Okay, great. So moving on to the affiliates. And I would very much like to welcome Mr. Orozco. I apologize that we have failed to meet with you in the past, and you can see we're a little bit of a rambunctious group. So would you be kind to introduce yourself, tell us what station you're from, and your role with the organization?
I am Joseph Orozco. I am with the radio station KIDE, Hoopa Travel Radio, in Hoopa, California, Humboldt County. I am the former manager, but now I am the website coordinator. I just work part-time with them. And I am the vice chairman of the Association of Affiliates.
So would you be kind to give a report, give us your perspectives, and perhaps Kaja and Heather might also join in. So go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This report was done by Ursula Rutenberg. Finances. We are on track with our operations and fiscal goals for 2024. We remain in the black and streamline the affiliate contract process for better continuity and efficiency. Due to numerous expenses, we continue with great caution, close to financial edge. We have collected 79% of the projected 2024 revenue from affiliate fees. Projected income from 2024 fees was $239,370. We received $189,303. Out of the projected $5,000 in donations, we have received $4,683. Out of the projected $7,000, in grants, we have received $6,100. Under special projects, we received $15,000 for Report the Vote Pacifica 2024 election training. With the influx of new radio stations built in the wake of the recent FCC filing for the low power frequencies, we are working towards an increase in affiliates and income from new fees to meet our projected budget growth of approximately $4,500, which is about 2% and less than that 2% increase. Election coverage and news training. We received a grant from the Association of Affiliates and an incorporated grouping of Pacifica affiliates aiming to provide responsible PNB affiliate representatives for supporting the affiliates network operation. The grant was to develop and carry out a training process called Report the Vote for reporters throughout the network covering the upcoming presidential election season. This initiative of our unit is to help train community-based volunteer producers and staff to produce news while creating a network for local reporters for coordinated Pacifica national coverage of the 2024 election and other national news productions in the future. In the larger scope, it is to further Pacifica's mission of participatory citizenship and independent media. The news training series was carried out by Zoom in 10 sessions from June 12th to August 18th, taught by Lisa Loving, former news director of KBOO Community Radio, Portland, Oregon. Their recordings and accompanying worksheets are available on our website, pacificanetwork.org. An auxiliary training session will be held on August 16th for station management, when representatives from various stations will provide models for news coverage locally with volunteers on low budgets. WBAI Pacifica's Bob Henley will also present remote news coverage, such as he produced at the RNC and a DNC. Our unit worked closely with Bob Henley for the Democratic and Republican National Convention coverage, arranging with reporting teams and studio support from local area affiliates, WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, WXRWLP in Milwaukee. The broadcast came from their store window studio, as a matter of fact. During the RNC, the affiliates WLNPNLP and WZRD, both in Chicago, in the upcoming Democratic National Convention, we heard. The convention coverage has been met with much appreciation from the affiliate stations for it. And Bob has been an excellent partner, and we look forward to collaborating with him for election night coverage and continuing with him with our reporters in training across the nation's network at that. Starting at the end of June until the week after Inauguration Day, the last two installments of Sprouts Radio from the grassroots will feature special editions called Election Report 2024 from Pacifica, bringing independent coverage by reporters from different corners of our network to cover election stories and issues, featuring many stations in our network. We bring their excellent work and important local stories. This series is executive produced by Lisa Loving, former news director of KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. The first installment features stories about the fatal police shooting outside of the RNC, big picture takeaways from the RNC, obstacles in the impacting the voting process for people with disabilities, and information about voter registrations. It is Sprouts is a weekly program. The internet network support. We continue to host monthly Zoom roundtable meetings of network member stations. Recording these can be found on pacificanetwork.org. And a grassroots radio conference is coming up, and we will be there. So stop by, and we'll love to chat with you.
Thank you very much. I know we're past time. Is there any objection to exhausting the stack? And I would like to ask Heather to speak first, as she is one of the affiliate directors.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Susan. And I want to thank Joseph for that wonderful report as well. I just wanted to bring up something to the board. We haven't really had a discussion about this enough, I think. You know, there are more than 200 stations affiliated to Pacifica, and I think, and all over the country. And so I think it would be good if we on the Pacifica board explored an opportunity actually for there to be some national programs, a coordinated effort with the stations affiliated to Pacifica and also the Pacifica stations. I think, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to do some incredible programs nationally. So I'm just bringing that up, Susan, as food for thought. maybe that's something that needs to come out of the program committee, but I think we could do a lot actually nationally. So I just wanted to, that's been on my mind for a little while. So I'd like to have more discussion at some point about that. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Vanessa, Serene, Jim, Teresa, Fred.
I have information, Chair.
What's your question?
My question is, would you like someone to be able to tell you when a hand that you just called on was actually a legacy hand, was never put down from the last item discussed?
That would describe my hand. It is legacy. Thank you.
Okay, great. So when I call on somebody, they can just say legacy hand.
But they don't. So, well, Vanessa.
I understand. Understood. Okay. Serene, then Jim, then Teresa, then Fred.
Thanks, Joseph, for the report. Did we get a written copy of that?
I can send one.
Yeah, it's great. PNB@pacifica.org, and we'll all get it.
Okay, very good. Will do.
Thanks. Thank you. Great. Teresa, then Fred. You're muted.
Thank you very much for your report, Joseph. I'm excited about the thought of Grassroots Radio Conference in New Orleans, which is like the 26th, 27th, 28th of September. Can you tell me how many people you anticipate being there?
I don't have that figure in front of me. We're still pushing.
And what's the radio station that's sponsoring that or hosting?
WHIV.
Okay.
New Orleans.
Well, I hope to be able to go despite the fact that I'm campaigning for some candidates for the upcoming election. Looking forward to that, though. Thank you.
I can post that link, too.
Thank you.
Great. Excellent. Fred.
Heather's comments are spot on. It is such a great thing to see somebody come here and show us what can be done with nonprofit radio. And I really want you to know that this has lifted my heart hearing this report. I really, really appreciate all the work that Heather, Kaja, you, all the affiliate stations are doing. I have been trying to get us to get together to work with these stations because you bring local news to us. You bring important news and values to us, and we need to share those. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, so Jim, your hand was after, but can you make it fast?
Well, actually, I've driven through Trinity River in the past, Joe, so I know how pretty it is up there.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons why we need a robust programming committee, because what you're talking about with community radio locally is exactly the kind of things that we need to explore with new technology like podcasts, using Zoom to turn things. We could do things with community radio stations. It's really exciting to hear that Lisa did that training for you guys. And that's terrific. It's really great to hear that. But we got to turn it into action, not just rhetoric, action. And it's great to hear you guys talk. I think the affiliates are very strong. They could teach all the stations a lot. And we can be humble in their wisdom. Thanks, Guy.
Thank you
so
very much.
I will note that we are basically at time for the open session. We got caught in not correcting the agenda. We noted that 10:45 was incorrect because that would
figure sight as a kid. I was always,
and so it's 9:45 is the time certain for going into closed session. Let's take 5 minutes for bathroom break and then go into closed session. And I'll ask Otis to take us off the stream.
Point of information.
Yes.
So that means we have no executive director's report in open session? I would just suggest that we put the executive director's report much higher on the agenda next time.
It should
time.
Have
Thank
been
you.
Earlier in the agenda. I'm sorry. There were so many things on it. If there's no objection, because the
Madam
executive
Chair,
director...
I object.
Okay, thank
we
you.
We need to have an executive director's report.
Let her finish, Serene.
All right. So then what I'm going to suggest is that we extend the...
Why does Darlene get to speak without having God. The floor?
I did not recognize her, and I did not hear her. Okay, so I'm going to suggest that we provide for the executive director's report in open session, and then when that has been completed with questions and answers, that we go into closed session. A lot of her report will be in closed session. So is there any objection to our providing the time right now for the executive director's report?
Yeah, I object.
Please,
Fred, you
please.
Object?
I object. You know, we wasted so much of my time tonight, and I just am sick and tired of it.
Okay, so that's enough of a comment. Because you, does anybody else object? So that's the only objection. Let's note that in the minutes that Fred objects. Okay, we will go ahead with Stephanie. You here?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Just to follow up with the report from the convention coverage, a lot of the information when we first started working on the trainings with Lisa Loving and the convention coverage is covered in ED reports from back in July. And it was a wonderful opportunity. Ursula did a wonderful job, she and her staff, getting the grant that was necessary. We were working with KPFA, KPF, WBAI, and the affiliate stations to work on the training for these up-and-coming reporters. And they were used tremendously during the coverage of the RNC, the national office. We also received another grant to help pay for this programming, this national programming that will continue through January 6th. Lisa's being paid by the national office for her work on this, and we're paying union wages to everyone that is involved in putting together this programming. There was a great sign up for the people that were doing the training. Lisa's been a wonderful person to work with, and we're really focusing on the educational aspects of the mission of Pacifica. We received a grant of roughly $50,000 to help cover the costs of both of the national coverage for the RNC and the DNC, and again to continue this through January 6th, and then we wouldn't be able to do this without the support of the affiliates. So it's wonderful just to be able to reach out to them and work with them and have those reporters on the ground. It's been absolutely wonderful. The stations that covered the national programming were KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW were using parts of the reports as well on the ground to put into some of their national programming. So it's a wonderful start to keep the national programming ball going. I do have a report that was sent out from our national election supervisor regarding the ballot phase. I will just read that so it can go, people can hear it on the stream. This is her report from August 15th through September 30th, 2024. The balloting, voting, campaigning phase for the 2024 Pacifica election, delegate election has commenced, and electronic ballots have been distributed to all station elections. 9 in total. There was no ballots that were sent out to WPFW staff as there were enough to fill those seats. As paper ballot requests via phone message come in, these are being sent out as soon as possible once received. Paper ballots are reserved for members who do not have access to a computer and who call in for their ballot. Members who have issues casting their ballot in general will receive one-on-one support, as what happened last year. They just need to leave a message to get that support. Ballots distributed by station and member type are as follows. For KPFA, there were 11,855 listener ballots, 196 staff. KPFK, 4,398 listener ballots, 229 staff. KPFT, 3,122 listener ballots, 76 staff. WBAI, 4,761 listener ballots, 105 staff. WPFW, 6,013 listener ballots and not applicable for the staff. There was a slight change in the numbers. Renee had typed it incorrectly, so I'll send out the revised report. I believe there was a change with the KPFT. There was 144 in the report that I sent to you, but I will send out her revised, which came mere moments after I had sent it, and I didn't want to bombard you with paperwork. So I'll send that tomorrow when you guys get a the ED report that can be shared with the LSBs. The report continues. Please note that these numbers will shift slightly. As of 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, 507 ballots have been submitted across the stations. To reach quorum, we will need 25% of staff to vote and 10% of listeners to vote by stations. Forums at KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW have been completed, and the archived shows will be sent out in her next voter-wide e-campaign and posted on the website. KPFT forums are expected to occur the first week of September. The date is yet to be determined. WBAI forums are occurring next week on the 21st and the 22nd. Carts are being produced at KPFK and WBAI. These are not required by the bylaws, and hence it is up to the management of each station to determine if they want to continue with this tradition. So again, the report that was sent out to everybody earlier, there's just one slight change in the numbers. Renee pointed that out to me, so I will send that, the revised version, when I send out the ED report. A financial update with the ED report. We've made significant payments, which has been wonderful. The one that's the most significant is that we are currently now up to date with the tower rent for WBAI. Which was a payment of $133,637. During the first 2 days of their pledge drive, which began on the 12th, they raised approximately $30,000, and we've already committed $17,000 of that to be used to pay the current tower bill. Another significant payment that was made is that the final payment, our FCC consent decree fine, was broken up into five installments of $5,000 apiece. The last payment that we made, we paid the full $10,000. So the final payment for the compliance violation was paid in full. So what that means, and there's details of this also in the ED report, is that because the $25,000 has been paid in full, the FCC granted renewal of the WBA license for 2 years. The FCC informed us of its release in its public notice granting the renewal of the WBAI license, and we were sent a screenshot from our FCC counsel when that occurred. So that too is also attached to to the ED report. As far as the consent, the compliance training, we've trained over 800 programming staff. We have approximately 950 plus programming staff. We held compliance trainings throughout June and July, 5 days a week in June, 4 days a week in July. And we had a Spanish language session that was held on July 27th. We had 4 additional training courses in early August, and we're going to be adding two additional dates in late August. Programmers have been made aware that for those who have not yet taken the training, their program will be replaced with an evergreen of their program until training has been completed. We do not want to not have people on the air, so we're really making every effort that we can. Even if somebody can't make any of the trainings, we have scheduled one-on-ones with certain people. After we get through August, we will then once again add another additional week of training in September. Updates on our FJC and SBA loans. The SBA Small Business Administration has finally confirmed that the name on the EIDL, or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, has been changed from the former interim executive director to the current executive director. So this now allows me to be able to get access to the SBA online portal to manage the details regarding the loan. And this is extremely important because we were approved just last week by the SBA for the hardship accommodation program, meaning that our loan is no longer in default. The past due payments that we owed to the SBA have been added to the end of the loan. But in order to keep our hardship accommodation plan in place, we are required to pay 10% of our monthly payment, which our monthly payments were about $8,600. So every month starting on September 11th, we'll be needing to make payments of $860. And by keeping that up, we will be able to keep the loan in a positive state. So because the loan is no longer in default, the process to remove the lien from the Cahuenga building can technically now begin. And the SBA has forwarded the forms to remove that lien, and I'm working with the brokers on getting some of the details that we need to attach with that paperwork. Once that lien has been removed, then FJC will also remove their lien from the Los Angeles building. Does anybody have any questions?
This is Myla. I have a question.
And Vanessa's hand is up as well.
Mine too.
Trying to get myself unmuted. Okay, so Donna, Vanessa, Jim, Myla, Teresa, Serene. Donna.
Okay. Were there any those payments made through operations or bequests? And then how many stations are paying central services?
The only payments were made, the payments that we paid at the beginning. Yes, the payment for the tower bill was made through a bequest. Also, the payments to the FCC were not through a bequest. We've also been paying the National Election Supervisor. The National Office has been paying that, and that's just been coming from funds that we have or with donations that we're receiving.
Thank you.
And what was the second question? I'm sorry.
Central Services, who's paying Central Services?
Oh, the only station that is paying Central Services a full their full amount is KPFT at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Vanessa.
So I wanted to ask you a question about the election. I got my ballot today, so ballots are going out. And you also gave a report about the forums. So I know every year is an opportunity, it appears, to do things better. To your knowledge, have all of the forums been done at all of the stations? I'm asking because if the ballots have already gone out before all of the forums have happened, then potentially voters are not having a full opportunity to get as much information about the candidates as they can before they vote.
The report that was sent out from Vanessa, you're Vanessa, the report that was sent out from Renee that I read in the beginning and that I'll send out again tomorrow is that the forums at KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW have been completed. And the archive shows are going to be sent out in the next voter-wide e-campaign and also posted on the website. The KPFT forums are expected to occur the first week of September. They have yet to determine that date. WBAI forums are occurring next week on the 21st and the 22nd. Carts have been produced for KPFK and WBAI. And the carts are not required by the bylaws, so it's up to the management of each station to determine if they want to continue with those carts.
So just to make sure I'm understanding in terms of my specific question, so for T and BAI, they haven't had their forms yet, but have the those voters received their ballots?
Yes.
Wow. And so it's up to the management versus the NES to, I understand it's not in the bylaws, but just in terms of sort of, please forgive me, the common sense of voting. I guess I just would have imagined that the forms would have occurred prior to the ballots being sent.
That makes sense. I don't know what the timeline is that would make it, and that may be something to look at in the future, is that ballots aren't sent until all the forums are completed. So that may be something that needs to be looked at as we move forward to create a timeline where that makes sense.
Okay. Well, thank you for saying it makes sense. It's unfortunate it didn't happen, but at least you're saying it makes sense. Thank you.
Who's next?
Jim Dingman.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, you know, I've read all the NES reports from the start. I've been around when these elections were underway from the start. I actually advocated them in the 1990s from the start. And I have to say that we have essentially achieved a deterioration of the communications of these issues to the listener members in direct decline for the past 20 years. So that has to be changed. My question is on the issue of raising money under this new schema. I've been monitoring the Allegiance data in New York, and I'm not talking about putting in grant money. I'm not talking about putting in union money. I'm talking about the normal way that one gets the money raised from the websites or for online or people calling in. And it has declined dramatically, really dramatically. And we don't even know yet how the first marathon, which is going to be based on a new system of raising money as opposed to what happened before, is going to work. So what are your thoughts about all this?
Well, the way that money has been raised in the past, particularly not just at WBAI, but other stations, has been extremely transactional. And that transactional type of donating, where people are giving money to the station in order to receive a product, is something that has happened in the past, and it obviously is not the way to go. It's against FCC violations. We are currently in a consent decree, which is making sure that we follow the FCC compliance. So it is a shift in the attitude and the behavior of people that are listening to the station strictly as a transactional donor. So it takes a long time, just in the world of nonprofits, in order to attract new listeners, in order to bring in transformational donors rather than transactional donors, where they are donating to the mission of Pacifica and that their station is providing them with the information that they need, not just a product that they're looking for. So we can't expect that change to happen overnight, but we need to be able to work on, and I've talked with the station management at KPFK, at WBAI, where we have had transactional donors more than the transformational donors, in working on outreach, grassroots efforts, marketing, public relations, sending out press releases regarding the station, social media coverage, letting people know that this is who we are, this is what we're covering, and these are the stories that are important to you. One of the great outreach that we had was the national coverage of the RNC. That was able to bring in a lot of listeners that hadn't listened to us before, that were listening to the stories on KPFA, KPFK, WPFW, WBAI, that had a national scope. People at that point knew they were listening to Pacifica programming, not just a station-specific programming. So it was great to be able to say, you're listening to a Pacifica program on WPFW. And that's the kind of outreach that we need to do in order to let people know that we are a community radio station, providing them with the information they need. So, you know, it's, again, it's a process. We have to be able to let our listeners know that their funds and their donations are being put to good use and supporting our mission, not just buying a product.
We'll see what happens.
Sorry,
Chair.
Okay. Yeah. Next, Teresa, then Serene.
Hi. Thank you so much for your work, Stephanie. I think what you did with the Idle Loan and your persistence in that just really helps, really, really helps. I have concern about our interpretation of and the instruction that we're getting. We have had at KPFT, we've had a just awesome music programming for many years. And we have one programmer, for example, James Nagel, the Blues Hound. He and his wife have made
better to not use names.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, they've maintained, we have one of our programmers that has maintained a calendar of music events from all over the Houston area. So people can find out what's going, you know, just can go down the list. And that's involved a lot of work. There's some interpretation now to say that we can't mention where a band is playing or we will be accused of promoting it. How can we say, or how can people think of us as being like the top notch in the no station, if we can't even mention where people are playing?
10 seconds left.
So
Community calendars aren't a problem, and we've covered that in the compliance trainings. And I believe we actually had either multiple questions or one-on-ones actually with the people that you were talking about. Yes, and to the point that we actually went to their website with them, looked at the website, and I think even I may be mistaken that our FCC attorney was part of that conversation as well, because we're not here to hinder, and John, our compliance officer, says this in all of our trainings, we're not here to hinder anybody's program. We just want to make sure that everybody can stay on the air. We're following compliance rules as listed by the FCC. So listing of any community calendars isn't a problem at all. And in fact, often what is even a plus, which some of the programmers are actually finding, is that if they have, for example, a community calendar at the beginning of the program, at a realistic or natural break in the middle of the program, and at the end of the program, the programmers can say, for more information, you know, you can get more information at listing their website. For a community calendar of events that are happening in our area, visit, and then they give the website. So it actually allows us to show it as a supporting sponsorship and provide more information than they normally would during the middle of their broadcast if they were directing people to their website. So now it's a basic, recorded, go here, visit here. This is what's happening in our community. Because a lot of the stations do community information, whether it's, you know, gardening, you know, or classes that are happening or, you know, community events. So that's not a problem. So if they're still having any issues or concerns, they can, you know, I'll reach out to Sandy, but I'll also reach out to John, or people can ask questions at compliance@pacifica.org. But that in particular, we did do a one-on-one with them.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got, I'm going to ask that we exhaust the stack, and that is Serene and then Paul. Serene? Paul, why don't you go ahead and we'll go back to Serene.
Sure.
Paul?
My question is, catching all these ads going from Leonard Lopate, some of them, I don't know, I wouldn't go so far as saying threatening legal action, but more like, I'm going to check out all my legal options and then come back for a decision type of messages. And he's also saying that some new big announcement is going to be made. So I just want to know if you know anything about that. Have you been in any sort of talks with him? Is there some dispute with him, or what's going down there?
There's no dispute. That is personnel, because there's no dispute whatsoever. He's remaining on the air. He never wanted to leave the air. So we can talk about it, though, in greater detail in the closed session, because...
Oh, I thought we were... I'm sorry. I thought we were in closed session.
There's no legal action. Right. There's no dispute. Leonard is happy.
All right.
We're working around his schedule and his requests.
Cool. Because I saw those things, but they did seem to get milder over time. So, okay.
Thank you. Serene.
Hi, so I'm sorry. I was speaking, not realizing I had been muted by someone there.
I don't know who you've been muted by, but I'm not muting you.
Nobody's muting you.
Okay. I'll start with the compliance issue, Stephanie. We cannot seem to get community announcements on the air. There's a book party for Momia coming up on Saturday. We've been sending the announcement, the text, the recording to the PD and GM, since the end of July. And they have not responded to say, no, change this, change that, nothing. So I want to be sure that we're not abandoning our political prisoners on this. It's important. It's his life. Similarly, there's a set of free lectures, free talks, with attorneys on how to deal with different aspects of the criminal justice system. The recording was sent, the text was sent, absolutely no response to multiple requests from your appointed IGM and his appointed IPD. So what's the position with regard to that?
You have 10 seconds.
I would forward those to our compliance officer, John Amella, at compliance@pacifica.org.
Okay. Do you know why management was unable to respond?
Pardon?
For weeks? Do you know why your management was unable to respond for weeks?
I am not familiar with what was sent to them. I don't know when it was sent to them. And so I wasn't copied or CC'd on any of those. So I'm not too sure, but okay. If it's a compliance issue, it's best to run it by our compliance officer. And if we
have, I don't know if it's a compliance issue because no one has responded, but okay, I'll email him.
Right. And then if there's any direct issues, then we always bring it up with the, our compliance attorney where we have meetings with him with issues that people bring up or text or anything that we want to get final approval or, you know, brainstorming and conversations with. At least once a week, we're meeting with him.
Mumia is important to a number
of
us. So having a, Madam Chair, may I complete my.
Yeah, let her complete. And by the way, I'm trying to get to Otis for us to go off the stream when we go to closed session. Please, it continues.
Okay. So, you know, to have the request be ignored is inappropriate. Leonard Lopate, according to his former producer, and she said this on air, it's not confidential, is coming back on Sundays and beginning in September at noon. I don't know what happens to Juliana Forlano. They can figure that out. With regard to the election, the NES started working in May. The mailing of ballots is set in the bylaws for August 15th. Why these forms were not scheduled ahead of that is inexcusably inexplicable. And again, the lists are not clean. People are getting multiple ballots from stations. People are getting staff and listener ballots. We're in a mess. Again, there just has to be a better process. You know, the report, the 200-and-something page report apparently has, you know, praise letters and this was wonderful and that was wonderful. But the very basic things that we need done aren't being done. Yet we continue. What do they say about the big muddy? Thank you.
So now we're going to move into executive session. Otis has joined us. Can we go straight into executive session without a bathroom break? We're all ready to do that.